like a comet blazing across the evening sky. Gone too soon.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We want to welcome you to WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. We want to thank you for joining us today. My name is Reverend Lee West. I am your host for A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. First of all, I want to say thank you for joining us. We are glad you are here on this fine Sunday morning. And right now, we just want to kind of talk about grief. We want to talk about the process of grief. There's so many misconceptions on how people think we should be dealing with grief and how long we should be grieving and things like that. And I want you to know firsthand that there is no time limit on grief. I want you to know that grief can come at any time. It can infect you at any time, any place. Grief doesn't care. It says it's often not made easy for us to grieve in our society. We can, however, grow and mature as human beings if we are allowed to grieve. Now, the key word here is allowed. People have their own concept on grief. But if we're allowed to grieve in a healthy way, grief is a process, not a state. It takes time, it takes work, and grief is a natural response to a significant loss. And we need to understand that men grieve differently than women. Children grieve differently than parents. The most extreme of such losses is experienced through the death of someone close with whom we had a meaningful relationship. So what does that mean? That means that, for example, I lost my daughter in 2016. That was the most hurtful, painful, and still is situation I have ever been in. In 2019, my father passed away. I hurt. I'm still grieving, but the pain of losing my daughter is far worse. And I think a lot of it has to do with as well, not only the fact that I lost her, it's in the manner that somebody is lost. My father died. He ended up with an infection in his lungs. My daughter was murdered. My daughter was strangled. She was sexually assaulted, and he set her on fire. So it's a big difference in losing my father and losing my daughter. We can also experience significant grief through the loss, through a divorce, separation, and abortion, and even our lifestyle or our job. So there's different levels of grief. There's different way that grief can come upon us. However, the response to these losses is similar. Death is the most significant, and maybe because of the finality, which means it happened, it's done, there's nothing to change it. And death confronts one's own morality and finiteness. Whatever the loss, there is little value in making comparison about the feeling one has. And I think that's where we make our mistakes. We want to grieve, we want to watch others grieve, but then we turn around and we say things like, well, I lost this person, so that's more important than your loss. Grief is grief, and it hurts no matter the who it is or what it is, it hurts. Whatever the loss, there is little value in making comparison. There is no consolation in hearing there is someone worse off than you are, hurting more and lost more. If you're hurting, it does little to hear about how someone else is hurting. Grief will be dependent on a number of factors. So I want you to understand this. The degree of attachment to that person in that loss. My daughter and I, Robin, were very close. We never missed a birthday. We didn't miss any holidays. We were very close, very united, and there's a bond there that just couldn't be broken. But when I lost my dad, it was completely different. So my loss of her, Number one, because she's my child. Number two, because of the closeness. That took a lot more out of me. If you are hurting, you have a quality and length of a relationship. You also have the nature of death, which is what I just said, because of how my daughter was taken from us. My father, he passed away in Abington Hospital. My daughter was found in an abandoned house. So it's totally different on how we perceive these things. It will be influenced by many other factors. Understanding the process of grief is very important. There is a writer named Colin Murray Parks, and he wrote a book called Bereavement, and he suggests four phases of grief. Numbness, which emotions are frozen. Pining, which is a desire to bring back the lost. Depression, preoccupation with the loss. And then there's recovery, development of a renewed identity. In my opinion, this is just my personal opinion, that last one, recovery, is kind of hard for me to accept and deal with because I don't think you ever recover, especially from the loss of a child. I think we need to understand that it is, as I stated earlier, a process. It's not something that happens and ends overnight. So there is a grief and loss curve, and I want you to picture just for a moment a horseshoe. You have the two ends that are open, and then you have the curve. Now, just for a minute, I just want you to think about the left side of that horseshoe or that curve. You have shock. You have denial. You have bargaining, guilt, anger. Now, at the U point of that curve, you have what is called depression. On the right side, you have new beginnings, you have planning, and you have acceptance. For me, I don't think I'll ever accept the fact that my daughter is gone. I don't think I'll ever be able to say it's okay, because for me, she was taken from us. She didn't die of natural causes. She didn't die in the hospital. She was murdered. Her body was dumped in an abandoned house and set on fire. She wasn't surrounded by loved ones. So this makes it even harder to deal with. In Good Grief, it was written by Granger Westberg. He explains the grief phase in a descriptive way. Number one, we are in a state of shock. Number two, we express emotion. Number three, we feel depressed and very lonely. Number four, we may experience a physical symptom of distress. Number five, we may become panicky. Number six, we feel a sense of guilt about the loss. For me, as a father, the first thing I would say is, wow, what could I have done to protect her? You know, you always want to know when this took place, was she calling out for me? Was she calling out for her mother? What could I have done to prevent this? And the bottom line is, pretty much, there's nothing you could have done. But that feeling is always there. We are filled with hostility and resentment. We are unable to return to our usual activities. Gradually, hope does come through. We struggle to readjust to reality. And the reality is, she's not here. The reality is, she's not coming back. The reality is, I will never see my daughter again. What I do have for me is I'm wearing a cross, and I know you can't see it, but I'm wearing a cross, and inside that cross is my daughter's ashes and her pieces of her bone. Physical, that's all I have of her. That's all I have left. Many people struggle to go forward and regress many times as they work through the process. For me, some people think that counseling is the answer. I felt like at that particular time, counseling was not the answer for me, because at the end of the day, even when I left the office, my daughter's still not home. She's still not there. So right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. I want to thank you for joining us at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. My name is Reverend Lee West. I'm your host for A Heart for the People Christian Ministry.
Like a comet blazing across the evening sky, gone too soon. Like a rainbow fading in the twinkling of an eye, gone too soon. Sparkling and splendidly bright, here one day, gone one night. Like the loss of sunlight on a cloudy afternoon, like a perfect love that is just beyond your reach, gone too soon. Born to muse, to inspire, to delight, in one day.
Hey, we're back. We're back. Welcome to A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. I'm your host, Reverend Lee West, here at WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. And we are talking about the process of grief. Many people struggle and go forward and regress many times as they work through the process. But we're talking about phases. We're talking about stages. And it's important to acknowledge the individuality of each grieving person, because we don't all grieve the same. We all grieve differently. And it's important that we be careful not to impose some pattern of grieving on others. We all feel that we may have the answer to your grieving situation. We all feel that we may have a solution to the way that you're grieving. And what we need to understand is people do not grieve the same. So some of the most important needs of a person experiencing grief can be summarized as follows. To feel support. We need to recognize that bereavement raises all sorts of feelings, and that to cope, people need to care, they need to love, and they need to support. And understanding of others. Unfortunately, there's just not enough of that going around. To face reality, the process of recovery is linked directly to acceptance of the loss. Acceptance will not come until reality is faced. We have to face the reality that I've lost a loved one. We have to face the reality that my child, my loved one, is gone. To express feelings, emotional release. It seems important to many grieving people that emotional release be encouraged. Grieving people should be helped, encouraged, and allowed to express their feelings. They may mean tears. It may mean talking and other acting out. We don't know how people are going to grieve. We don't know how they're going to respond to the loss of a loved one. Couples have lost their children to murder and end up getting a divorce. Families break up. Families split up. Too often, would-be helpers suppress rather than encourage and facilitate emotional release. In our society, people often get uncomfortable. If you demonstrate your reaction to the loss and pain openly, why are you acting like that? Why are you doing that? Stop doing that in public. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I have gone to the market and begun tearing up because I saw a food that I know my daughter likes. I have gone to different events because I saw something that reminded me of her. Right out in the public, right out in the open. And I just begin tearing up. You can't control that. You can't say, okay, stop the tear flow. It's going to come when it wants to come. They may say, oh, buck up, you're going to be all right. It's time to get over it. It's God's will. Brighten up. You're upsetting the team. Well, what about me? You know, I'm not worried about the team right now. I'm worried about the fact that I'm dealing with the fact that I lost my daughter. I'm dealing with the fact of how I lost my daughter. Negative terms are often used if you get upset. Breaking down, falling apart, cracking up, not coping. But then there are some positive terms that are often used if you demonstrate restraint. Demonstrate restraint. You're brave. You're very strong. You're courageous. You're holding yourself together. You're coping well. Our culture with grief and choice of language around grief and loss may prevent you from expressing your feelings. So it's important that we allow people to feel the way they feel. It's important that we allow people to grieve the way they need to grieve. At Parents of Murdered Children, when we have our meetings every third Thursday, I tell them, listen, if you need to grab a plate and you want to throw it against the wall, then you do that. If you want to go outside and yell and scream, then you do that. You have that right. You are the one who is dealing with the grief. You are the one who is dealing with the loss of a loved one. So to move towards the reestablishment of self, which means ongoing living, for many, this is difficult. And for a period of time, often many months, painful and at times unthinkable grieving. Grieving people need all the care, encouragement, and support they can get to enable ongoing living to be increasingly possible. Please, don't come to somebody thinking you have all the answers. Don't come to somebody thinking that if you've never lost a child, you cannot tell a person how they're supposed to feel. Some people handle it better than others. Some people can get through it. But there are some who grieve, and they need your support. They need to know that you are there for them. Some people benefit from extra help in overcoming the effects of grief and loss. Do not be recedent to get help. If you need help, get help. Don't try to carry this hurt and this pain all by yourself. Get the help that you need. Often the help you receive will be short and simple, and will prevent you from having longer-term problems. You may need further assistance just because a counselor says, okay, we're going to give you a week or so, 2 weeks, a month, and you're done. It's going to go way beyond that. It's just like at a funeral. When I have done a funeral and I say to the family, I say, you know, when everybody has gone home, when the family has gone back down south, when your children have gone back to their home and what have you, it's silence. And now your mind is going to start working. You're going to start feeling certain things that you never felt before. You're going to start, you know, you're going to start hearing things that you never heard before. You're going to start seeing things. When my daughter first was murdered, I will tell you, as I stand in front of you, I looked in my rear view mirror and I saw her walk behind the car. Even in my bedroom, as the sun was coming through the blinds, and I could see the sunlight was shaped kind of like a star. And the first thing I said is, Robin's watching over us. So it's important that we support each other. And those who have not lost anybody, it's important that you support the person that's grieving. Don't belittle them. Don't make them feel like, you know, you're crazy. No, you need to support them. And if they tell you something, you need to listen. The problem described above and what I just stated are particularly severe, or if they continue for more than 5 or 6 weeks. You feel numb. You may feel empty and do not have the appropriate feelings. You may find yourself keeping busy all the time. You may find yourself doing things that you weren't doing before. And you do this to avoid the unpleasant thoughts and feelings. I took some time off. I grieved. I'm still grieving, but I went back to work. But here's the beautiful part about me. This is why we say every situation is different. I went back to work. I was working for the School District of Philadelphia when my daughter was murdered. I just got the job. But I lost a daughter, but I gained many daughters. There were young men, students, calling me dad, uncle, grandpa, pop-pop, whatever. A lot of the female students were calling me dad. So even though I lost my daughter, they made me feel comfortable. They made me feel like I can make it through. And they would say, I'm not your daughter, and I'm not trying to replace her, but we're here for you. You have no friends, family of whom you can talk to about the experience. You are using alcohol or drugs just to help you cope. If you have any other concerns about the way you are or your colleagues are coping with you, you'd like to discuss it with them. Sit down and talk with them. Take the time to hear what they have to say. Take the time to hear what they're going through. So I'm just going to give you a brief summary of some do's and don'ts for assisting others who are going through a grief process. Do listen and hear what is being said. Do acknowledge that each person's experience of grief and loss will be unique. I need you to remember that nobody has to justify their feelings to you. Do realize the person who has suffered a loss, even if you don't perceive it as such. Don't prevent the person from expressing their guilt or anger if they need to. Do allow the person time to grieve. This is all about timing. Because when you suppress your grief, when you make somebody suppress their grief, it could be detrimental. What you don't want is a negative outcome where they lash out because they're holding so much inside. Don't stifle the person's desire to talk about the deceased. Do encourage the griever to express emotions and to work through the grief. Do remember that many who give support immediately after a death may be delayed in working through their own grief. Do recognize the intensity of grief. that will be experienced at certain significant times, such as birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas. Don't personalize knockbacks to your efforts to assist. Do encourage those who have common grief support one another if they can. And don't give trite answers to the why question. People don't want to hear wrong place at the wrong time. People don't want to hear it's God's will. God is not out here to hurt people. In conclusion, be aware. Remember that working through grief is a normal and necessary process. Be there. Learn to be with the person, not to solve the problem, because you can't. Be sensitive. Allow the distress and do not try to take it away. Be human. Allow expression of feelings, guilt, anger, sorrow, depression, without judgment. To listen when the story is told over and over again, and be patient. Remember that the process of mourning takes time. This is Reverend Lee West, WWDB AM Talk 60, 860 Talk Radio. We want to thank you for joining us today in A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. We love you. If you're going through, find a support group. Parents of Murdered Children, Central Philadelphia is available. You can reach us at 267-586-1778. Our email address is philapomc@gmail.com. God bless. Love you.
Like a rainbow fading.